Welcome back to the Dealmakers Podcast Show with serial entrepreneur Alejandro Cremades, best-selling author of The Art of Startup Fundraising and co-founder at Panthera Advisors. In this podcast, we ask our guests about their successful acquisitions and financing rounds.
Alrighty, hello everyone, and welcome to the Dealmaker Show. So today we have an amazing founder joining us. She is a powerhouse. You know, we're going to be really talking about a lot of the good stuff that we like to hear, like building, scaling, financing. I mean, in their end, you know, they're in innovating in aerospace. It's not a really easy industry to really operate on, but they've done quite well. They're riding a rocket ship, you know, and really getting a lot of momentum, especially given their last round that they did too. And we're going to be talking about co-founder relationships. They're also athletes. So how to think about that too when you're building a business, how to think about too building an engineering-driven team. It took them on their end to get to prototype about 2 years. So talking about that journey is going to be quite incredible, as well as thinking about accelerator programs when you're a deep tech company and other really good stuff. So again, brace yourself for a very inspiring conversation today. And without further ado, let's welcome our guest today, and that is Eloi Guillotin. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. My pleasure to share this moment with you.
So originally born in France, so out of a small town there, give us a walk through memory lane. How was life growing up for you?
That's a big question. I will summarize very shortly. I was born and raised in Saint-Sulliac, very, very small town, farmer village, with nothing to do. And I was bored for most of my childhood. So I was doing two things, looking at the stars and doing sports. And so from day one, I was dreaming to be an astronaut. And my neighbor was a former test pilot. So I was just speaking with him hours and hours about, okay, what is a plane? How do we go to the stars? What is a launcher? And that was my passion from day one. So then I left home at 17 as soon as I could to go studied in aerospace in Toulouse. So I'm an aerospace engineer. And now I'm the co-founder and CEO of the company building a hydrogen electric plane.
And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Now, one thing that is really amazing is how you developed that love so early on. I mean, how did that really happen? So, I mean, it's quite inspiring, like so early in your life to really have that determination and a really good idea of what your path is going to be when you're older.
Honestly, I don't exactly know where it's coming from because, like you said, it was early years. So I don't have memories, but like back at the time, I just remember some books that I will hide on my next to my bed, and I was just reading that at night. So just feeding my imagination with planets, stars, rockets, launchers, and I even started to learn Russian at one point, because back at the time we could only go to the moon as an astronaut if we speak Russian. So yeah, don't really be able to explain the detail of how, but I know for sure that my family is not from the aerospace industry. They are neither entrepreneur or neither engineers from even less aerospace. So I guess I would just explain it by saying that I was really, really bored in this little village, and that I think I reacted by doing exactly the opposite of just I wanted to build something big, something with impact, something that people would dream of and do something exactly the opposite of this little village.
That's amazing. Now, here you are. You have a clear idea of what's the path that you want to follow. You go to Toulouse. You're now involved into the aerospace, you know, community and field. And how do you start to think about, because I mean, that's something that you started to really push on when you graduated, and then you started to do your master's degree, and you combined there again a master's degree on aerospace and another one in business. So how did the idea of really getting that combination and bringing business in the mix, you know, also kick in?
I've realized during my studies that at first I thought I wanted to be the engineer, and I realized being an engineer is not just inventing the product, but more about building the how one subsystem of the project would work. And I was more the one who wanted to invent the project. So during the engineering studies, I've worked on a lot of different, I would not call them startup, but let's say big projects about let's try to invent a supercapacitor for smartphones, or let's build a solar backpack for hiking. So, you know, now I realize it was the beginning of an entrepreneur mindset, but that's how it's swift. My engineering studies switched to actually, I want to be able to invent the product, sell it, and have an impact on the market. With a bit more deeper reflection, at 8 years old, I was selling chocolate on the Christmas market of my village. And then at 13 years old, I was going to the golf court, taking the golf that was in the bushes, cleaning them and selling them again to the golfers. Yeah, I think this entrepreneur mindset was more in my DNA from day one, but then it got combined with aerospace, a passion that I have. And then we'll talk about the market and the product. But then with a market opportunity arise, then I'm like, sure, let's go. That's my dream.
Amazing. Now for you, the company that you're leading right now, which you are one of the co-founders, Beyond Aero, is ultimately the product of also you testing things out, doing several projects. And it was kind of like more like doing 6 projects, ultimately what led to Beyond Aero to be born. So walk us through how that journey was and how things were taking shape, leading you all the way to landing on the idea of Beyond Aero.
Like you said, I've done different projects with one of my co-founders, Hugo. And we'll talk about co-founders, but that's key for me because Beyond Aero was not born just by me, but within the 3 co-founders' ideas. So we've done a few projects together. And then at the end of the studies, you know, we had this American dream to stay in California, to build the company and go big. And then COVID happened. COVID happened means I've been called by uni. Hello, you need to be back in France and you're going to have the graduation on Zoom. Okay, sure. So the only house I had was in Saint-Sulliac, my little village. And so this big dream was completely canceled. And I was just stuck in Saint-Sulliac, in this little village. And that frustration raised again. And so we've discussed a lot during with the 3 co-founders, right? Hugo and Valentin, during this time. And we sat down and we discussed about what is our definition of success. What do we want to do in life? Why the 6 different projects we've done did not really work? And so we've sat down about, okay, what is a successful company for us? Sure, people and fundraising is a KPI, but that's not our success. What do we really care about? And then that means personally, how do you want to lead to that success? And so that's how Beyond Aero came up, is that actually we said, for sure, one, market opportunity and relying on existing technology. Second, passion. We're going to spend hours and hours around that. We need to love the subject. And third, people. I'm not saying in order, right? Some people would, it could be people and then passion and then market, whatever. That was the 3 pillars. And by that time, Valentin was working on electric engine, only the engine. And he was working on the certification path for the engine. Hugo, he worked on fuel cells and hydrogen and propulsion before. And me, more the market and entrepreneur side, and we're like, okay, let's combine those 3. And we had this click of, we love aviation. We know electric engines are getting certified. We know that aircraft are polluting too much. Aviation will be electric. And that's the vision. So that's the baseline of the company. And that happened during COVID. Aviation will be electric. The question is when? Is it going to take 1,000 years, 300 years, 100 years, or 20 years? One day. My dream will be just to look at the stars, look at the sky and see only electric plane. It's not just a dream. I'm pretty sure it will happen. And then, you know, that's a dream. And now a dream without, like a vision without an action plan stays a dream. So then we just roll our sleeve and say, okay, where do we start? And now we focus on the product. Yeah.
So you were talking about the co-founders earlier in the team and how you guys also knew each other. I guess. Talk to us about co-founder relationships, co-founder management, And then also, how would you say that the fact that the three of you are athletes have helped you into really developing that competitive nature in the culture of the business?
Mm-hmm. Very deep subject and very interesting. We've known each other for 8 years and we've built so many projects together. So we know, first of all, I would say it's important to know personally where are you good at and where are you bad at, and to be able to share that with others. So that took us, I would say, 4 years to honestly be able to say, okay, I'm good at that, and plus I love it. I'm mediocre at that and I don't love it, or I love it, and I'm not good at that and I need you. Hugo's definition of success is absolutely complementary to mine. Mine is linked to our people, culture, product, and clients. Hugo is linked to manufacturing, certification. So it's absolutely complementary. Second is how to maintain. It's like, it's even harder sometimes than a wedding, because you don't have love. For wedding, you have love. Co-founder relationship, it's even, I would say, even harder sometimes. Then it's how to keep this dialogue and relationship healthy. And so we have created this feedback session moment. So every quarter, we do a retreat in the Alps. So basically, we just rent an old farm and we go on hiking or running and different things. And we just do this feedback session. So you have two rules. First, you should not cut the speak of someone. You just let the person speak as much as they want. This person should, and third is you should not react at the end. You just say thank you and you go running. So it's active listening, right? And the rule is to say all the positive you love about the other, all the things to improve, and concrete solution how to improve those things. And so we have been doing that now for 4 years. We did not do that the first 4 years, but now we have been doing that. The first feedback session were really insane and very intense, sometimes even personal. But now that we are used to it, we keep this very balanced, healthy moment to just rely on each other and open and be vulnerable. That's a thing you can't do on a daily basis of the business. And to answer your question about sport, like you said, yeah, we are, at least Hugo was doing track and field, Valentin swimming, and me gymnastic, and today triathlon. And we love to compare our relationship to athletes' relationship in a team. For example, rugby or soccer. You have the captain, you have the coach, everyone has one clear defined role, but you all want the same success. You all want to win the championship, but you should respect everyone's lines, and you should also know when the person is strong or weak, or you know each other. And sometimes you don't have to speak out loud. You just know because you know them so deeply. And so we compare a lot of that, of the three founders, but also inside the team. And I love the sports analogy, because sometimes, you know, the cliche of startup is, yeah, we are family, and I hate that. We are not family. It's a professional environment. But it's not either Airbus or very traditional way. So I like this middle ground of, it's exactly like a sport team. We are in a professional environment. We can share, have a beer after work. We can share very intense moments, but we are not family. And so the sport and analogy inside a startup for me makes a lot of sense. And also, we hire people that have a very sensitivity, a high standard of sports, because that means that they can also balance themselves. They know when they need to accelerate at work. They know when they need to relax. They have ups and downs, but they know themselves. They know their body. They know their mindset. And they can be autonomous. I could speak about that for hours, but that's something that I deeply care about. And I'm applying that in the daily life of the company.
Hey guys, so pardon the interruption here. So I got to tell you that, you know, for those of you that are either looking to raise money or you're looking to get your company acquired, you don't have to be alone. You know, there's a lot of psychology that needs to be blended with strategy, with methodology, with process. And it's very hard, and already doing your business alone is super, super difficult. So I remember, you know, back then when I was an entrepreneur, I kept
really experiencing the challenge of either knowing or finding the right type of access to the right type of investors, or really understanding what was the right type of guidance, you know, that would carry me through the process, whether it was with seeking money or with going through the acquisition. So that gap that I found being an entrepreneur is ultimately what pushed me later on, when I met my co-founder at Pantera, Mike Severson, to really put together an advisory firm where we are guiding entrepreneurs and founding teams through the capital raising efforts, whether you are at a seed stage or at a Series A stage, or if you are going through the process of an acquisition and you are in small to mid-cap type of cycle. So again, you know, we would help you from guiding you and supporting you from A to C all the way to the end as an extension of your team. And there's no reason for you to do this alone. So with that being said, if you would like to find out more, feel free to send me an email at alejandro@panteraadvisors.com. And we would love to take a look at helping you out.
So I guess saying about Beyond Aero, what ended up being the business of Beyond Aero? And also, how do you guys, you know, think about making money here?
We are building a plane. It's an electric plane. It's a private jet. So 6-seater, fully electric, running on 800 nautical miles. So that's 1,000 miles. But it's not lithium batteries electric. It's hydrogen. I don't know how deep you want to go in technology, but lithium batteries are too heavy for a plane. So the only way to have a longer range is to use a hydrogen propulsion. And so today, our vision is declined in a mission that is based on 3 pillars. The market need, private jets. They emit 2 tons of CO2 per hour. It's crazy. It's time to have an electric private jet. But this is also the market where clients can invest, because it's a more wealthy industry on private jets. Second pillar is to rely on mature technology. That means we are doing gas hydrogen. We are buying the tanks, buying the fuel cells, buying electric engine. The core IP of the company is to redesign the plane around an existing powertrain. So we are relying on automobile industry, Formula One suppliers, aerospace suppliers, and we design the plane adapted to hydrogen. And the third pillar is all about safety first, right? Certification. In aviation, you can do a lot of prototype. If they are not certified, that means nothing. So how do we make money? Is by certifying the plane and sell it. So you have the business model is traditional. We do not reinvent that. You sell the plane, and then you also have services and maintenance fees through the life of the plane.
So one thing that I want to ask you too is, how were the, you know, the early days too? Because in 2022 as well, you joined Y Combinator, and the Beyond Aero doesn't seem to be like the typical Y Combinator kind of company. So why did you all decide to go to Y Combinator, and what was the before and after of Beyond Aero after the experience?
Mm-hmm. YC, if I don't mistake, they usually take one aviation company per batch. They took a supersonic one, they took a hybrid plane, so one per batch. And so we are the hydrogen plane of YC. Indeed, we cannot just apply the ARR or typical KPI that YC is pushing. And YC is very well organized. So they have a dedicated partners to such deep tech companies. But they still apply the same principle, which is make something that people want. So from day one, they pushed my engineers, the engineer side of me, to just go and speak to clients. So I've done that during, first of all, before YC, but also during YC. And they pushed us on getting LOIs. And that's not traditional in aviation, because it was too early for the project to have official airlines, LOIs. But I did it. And now we signed over $1 billion in LOIs. And so I would say the before YC and post YC was to be able to realize that even in a very traditional industry, you can applies a basic principle of what is a good business is to make something that people want. So let's speak more with clients. Let's adapt the product to their needs and iteration. So from YC, now I'm doing a round table with clients, one per month, five clients around the table, and we discuss about our plan. And that's really the main learning for me is legacy OEM manufacturers don't do that.
Now, that's pretty cool, actually. But in your case as well, it took 2 years for prototype. I mean, in YC, you know, and when someone, you know, throws something together, it's like a landing page and hopefully someone is gonna buy it. And then, you know, that gives you the data points that, hey, you may be on the right track. In your case, it took 2 years to build a prototype. What was that journey like to getting to prototype?
First of all, once you have your vision, you need to have the mission. And once you know which plane do we want to build for which market, you need to assess the technical challenges and retro planning of what do we want to de-risk. So to be able to build a prototype, we needed to have the question, what are the technical challenges we need to de-risk? That was the first 6 months, to really be able to assess what is the level of maturity, what are the things we can buy, what are the things we need to build on spec, who are the right suppliers. Once you have that, then you retro planning to, okay, now let's build a prototype, and you de-risk the technical bricks. So it goes like any project management traditional timeline. I would say first, you assess the goal, the money, and the people behind it, and then you find the partners, and then you start building. That's the theory. In practice, it was crazy. but we did it. So basically what we have done is that we wanted to de-risk the architecture of the powertrain subscale. So we have decided to design, integrate, test on the ground, and test in the air the first hydrogen electric plane of France. It's the most powerful one of Europe. Even if it's subscale for us, it's a two-seater plane that we've put in the air. It's still the same architecture of the powertrain. So from that took us 2 years to build the project, find the right partners, find the pilot, onboard people. The leap time of component is really long. So to be delivered the component, to test it, to iterate, because it's never first time right. Then to get the permit to fly. It's very special for this type of plane. It's faster for sure. And then to put it in the air. So yeah, two years project. We wanted it to be 18 months and 2 years.
That's incredible. Obviously, as part of that, you know, you need capital to be able to finance the operations and everything. So how much capital have you all raised to date? And what has been also the experience of going through those motions?
Now, December 24, we raised 44 million. We need way more to certify the final plane, but it's still a very good start. As you know, it's exponential. So we are at the inflection point of such a company. How was it? Crazy, like every single fundraising. We've done 3.5 rounds. I would say a half because in the middle you had safe. So let's say we've done 3 rounds, but in the middle we took safes. A part of those 44 grants also. A small part of it, but still. We've done one round in Europe before YC, small one. Then we did YC, then we did saves, and then we did a Series A, recently closed 20 million. How was it? I loved it, to be honest, because I'm really, really convinced of what we are doing, but I also love everything that the build is achieving so many great milestones that my job is to vulgarize those milestones and explain how those milestones are de-risking the technology to people that don't barely know anything about aviation. And that's something I absolutely enjoy. My little trick you asked me earlier about that, my only advice would be to go in person. Even if it was post-COVID time, for such projects, I flew all over the world to meet people in person. And my conversion rate from Zoom to in-person exploded. Yeah. So really the in-person meetings are working.
And I can totally get that. Now, one thing that comes to mind is when you're receiving money and investors are betting on you, and even, you know, let's say employees as well, they're betting on the future that you're living into, no? And you were alluding to with a vision. I mean, you've talked about vision many times. So I want to touch on this and double click on it. And if you were to go to sleep tonight and you wake up in a world where the vision of Beyond IRO is fully realized, what does that world look like?
You would look at the sky and see three sizes of plane, electric private jet, electric regional plane, and commuters, electric commuters. I'm saying electric does not mean lithium batteries, right? I imply hydrogen electric behind that. So vision is to make aviation electric, and the retro planning is not just private jet. Private jet is a go-to-market. This is where the need is strong, the technology is mature, and the certification path is simpler, quote. But the vision is to have to scale the size of the plane, and would have three size, three family. It's called program in aviation. To make aviation electric, not just business aircraft.
I love it. So we're talking about the future here, but I want to talk about the past and doing so with a lens of reflection. So imagine I put you into a time machine and basically I'm able to bring you back in time. You know, maybe to that moment where you were now brainstorming with your now co-founders about a world where you could bring something, you know, before you even got started with all the different projects that led to Beyond IRO. And let's say you're able to have a chat with that younger self, you know, maybe like 4 or 5 years ago. And you were able to tell that younger self one piece of advice before starting a business. What would that be and why, given what you know now?
I would not change anything. I would just say, go faster. That means trust yourself on exactly the same thing. Do the same mistake, the same good thing, the same path, but just everything faster. That means don't doubt. Just do it. Because some people are telling me you are young for what you do, and I think the opposite. I'm like, I'm already 28. This plane should be built faster. So I would just say, trust your dream, trust your daring side of you. Just don't doubt and just do it. That would be the same path, but just faster.
I love it. So for the people that are listening, that would love to reach out and say hi, what is the best way for them to do so?
Not LinkedIn. I do not watch LinkedIn. I don't have Instagram. I don't have Twitter. I'm sometimes too old French engineer. So honestly, it's hard. I would say through Anaïs, my head of communication. She's way better than me on that. I'm really focused on, I have a very strict schedule and discipline about myself, especially about sports. So I'm saying no, as I discuss with you, to most of the solicitation. So Anaïs is a good way. And worst case, find a way to find my WhatsApp number.
That's a good one. Well, hey, well, thank you so much for being on the Dealmaker Show today. It has been an absolute honor to have you with us.
Thank you for your time and your interest. See you soon.
If you like the show, make sure that you hit that subscribe button. If you could leave a review as well, that would be fantastic. And if you got any value, either from this episode or from the show itself, share it with a friend. Perhaps they also appreciate it. So also remember that if you need any help, whether it is with your fundraising efforts or with selling your business, you can reach me at alejandro@pantheraadvisors.com.
You've reached the end of another episode of the Dealmakers Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to alejandrocremades.com. Thank you for listening and see you at the next episode.